Hey, this is Deacon Pat coming to you from The Catholic Journey and coming to you from the recording studios in Northern California, in the Sacramento Diocese, and in the city of Rockland. Well, how you doing? It's almost midweek. It's Tuesday, the day that I'm recording this, and this coming Sunday will be the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Well, I think there's a great message to be shared with everybody in regards to this gospel and breaking it open and seeing how we can apply it to our lives. So I was hoping to just take a couple of minutes of your day and share some of that information with you. So where does this all come from? Well, it starts with the gospel. The gospel is the gospel of Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. And it goes something like this. Jesus said to the chief priest and the elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man has two sons. He came to the first son and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' He said in reply, 'I will not,' but afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." The gospel of the Lord. So that was the reading from the gospel, and that will be preached in all the Catholic churches around the diocese, around the country, and around the world for this 26th Sunday of Ordinary Time in the Catholic Church. That's the calendar of the Catholic Church. Well, let's look at that gospel a little closer, and I want to share with you a homily. I can't take credit. This homily was originally written by someone I follow, and I like a lot of his homilies. His name is Father Tommy Lane. And what I did with this homily is it's almost all his, but I did adjust it a little bit here and there so it would roll off my tongue a little easier and also be applicable, I think, to the culture around me. So here it goes. Isn't it rather shocking to hear Jesus say, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you"? Of course, Jesus was talking about the tax collectors and prostitutes who had listened to his preaching and had changed their lives. Fitting that description might be Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. Also one of the 12 apostles, Matthew, also called Levi, who had been a tax collector. And what about Mary Magdalene? The scriptures do not implicitly say that she had been a prostitute, but Luke tells us that Jesus expelled 7 demons from her, so certainly she had lived what we might describe as a very bad life before she met Jesus. So in the parable that Jesus taught, we can identify the tax collectors and prostitutes as the first son, who at first said no to his father, but then thought better and obeyed his father and worked in the vineyard. They had lived a life disobedient to God in the past, but when they had heard the preaching of Jesus, they changed. Like the first son, they said no at first, but later said yes. On the other hand, the chief priest and elders of the people were like the second son in Jesus' parable who said, "Yes, sir," but then did not obey his father. They heard the preaching of Jesus and knew the scriptures, but their hearts were closed and they were not responding to God. Why were tax collectors and sinners able to open their hearts and respond to the preaching of Jesus, while the chief priest and elders were not? Perhaps it is because the tax collectors and sinners had reached rock bottom and realized that the lives they were living were empty and meaningless. In Jesus, they found life as it was meant to be. Jesus offered hope to them, hope that they never before had. When they converted to this new way of life, the words of God to the prophet Ezekiel in our first reading were fulfilled. If a wicked man, turning from wickedness he has committed, does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life, since he has turned away from all the sins which he had committed. He shall surely live, he shall not die. If Jesus were talking to us now, we could imagine that he might say, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the gang members, the adulterers, the liars, the thieves, and the dishonest are making their way into the kingdom of God before you. That would be rather shocking to hear. But if those just mentioned really allowed Jesus to touch their hearts, turned toward him, stopped their sinning, while we only knew about Jesus, but did not know him personally in our hearts, that would make a lot of sense. Those who lived dark lives in the past and have undergone conversion experiences may be living life at a much deeper level than many of us here today. Having experienced the depths of misery and the meaninglessness of their former life, they have probably probed very deeply into the meaning of life and found that only in friendship with God does life have value. Likewise, many of those who enter the Catholic Church later in life know the faith at a much deeper level than a lot of us cradle Catholics, because they were searching for answers in their own church denomination or in life itself, and did not find the answers, but found the complete answer in the Catholic Church. I find it fascinating to hear the stories of those who allowed Jesus to touch their hearts, and then their whole lives changed. One example is John Preedmore, now a Catholic evangelist, who shared the story of his dark past and his conversion in his book, From Gangland to Promised Land. He describes the moment of his conversion like this. I sat alone and found myself thinking how my life was completely messed up. I felt very depressed and empty. Then I heard what I can only describe as a voice. It was telling me the worst things I'd ever done. It was the voice of God, my conscience. The breath was going out of me. It was as if I was dying and an incredible fear gripped me. I'm going to hell, I thought. I fell to my knees and tears began to well up in my eyes. Give me another chance, I cried. Suddenly, I felt as if someone's hands were on my shoulders and I was being lifted up. An incredible warmth overpowered me and the fear immediately evaporated. At that moment I knew, really knew, not just believed, that God was real. Then I did something I had never done before. I prayed. God, up till now, all I've done is take from you, and now I want to give. Then, what I can only describe as an awesome feeling of love consumed me. I knew for the first time in my life that I was loved by God. Up until then, I had always thought I was worthless and it didn't matter whether I lived or died. Later in his book and looking back on his life, he wrote, looking back across my life, a journey, you might say from gangland to promised land, I've come to understand that we just need to ask Jesus to reveal himself in our hearts and to let us know that he's real and that he loves us. I did, and he replied. To anyone who is skeptical about this, I would simply say, just do it. If someone had said this to me when I was involved in all that criminal activity, I would probably have laughed and told them that they were living in a cloud cuckoo land. Now I know that Jesus is real, not through reading books or studying theology, but from personal experience. John Preedmore was like the first son in Jesus' parable. In his early life, he said no to the work in the vineyard, but then underwent a conversion, came to know Jesus, and said yes to the work in the vineyard. Preedmore further wrote, when I was with the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal in the South Bronx, Father Bernard told me about a time he went to work with some poor people in a village in the mountains of North America. He was deeply impressed by one old man who, despite having no running water, no electricity, and very little food, was so joyful. "How come you're so happy when you have so little?" asked Father Bernard. "Because I know Jesus," replied the old man. "But I know Jesus as well." "No, you might know about Jesus in your head, but not in your heart." So what is the message for all of us here today? Well, maybe it starts with a question. That question is, do I know Jesus? Do I truly know him? Or do I only know about him? If those who were drug addicts, alcoholics, gang members, and even prostitutes have turned away from sin and now know Jesus personally and intimately, and if we only know about him and have not stopped our sinning, then surely Jesus can say they are making their way into the kingdom of God before us. Let us ask ourselves that very important and revealing question once again. Do I only know about Jesus, or do I truly know him personally and in my heart? Have I met him? Do I often spend time with him? If not, tell him that you want to meet him, to get to know him, and to feel his presence in your life. And then carefully listen for him in the quiet of your heart, in your conscience, and in those special daily encounters with other people. But most importantly, humbly, open your heart and allow him to live within you. It is never too late to become like the first son. Amen. Well, there it is. There's the message for all of us here today. I really pondered over this gospel and the message that I think is related to it. Originally, I thought I was scheduled to preach at all the masses this weekend at my new parish, Presentation Parish, and then I found out I made a mistake, and no, it wasn't my weekend. So the time and energy I put into this never is wasted, because I think I always grow the most. When you prepare for a homily, at least for me, I take it as a great responsibility, and I pray, I study, I write. I often look for others much wiser than me to see, and then I try to make it my own, in the sense that God wants me to share a particular message with those around me. And that message often is probably geared towards me more than others. I don't know, but that is what it is. Well, anyway, God bless. I hope there was something in that message that resonated with you, and it's always God behind those sparks in your life, those things we ponder in our life, and the things that wake us up and make us think about, really, what is life all about? May God bless you, and may he forever keep you until we speak again. God bless.